We'll start with a public hearing. This is regarding the energy and greenhouse gas emissions element of the county comprehensive plan. I'll call the public meeting to order. Is there anyone here to speak to that topic? Come up to the mic, say your name and where you're from.
John Bozak, Town of Ithaca, speaking on behalf of an organization called TC Local. We were one of the groups that requested the study that resulted in the draft energy element you have before you tonight, and we've been following the entire year's worth of progress on this as a group that is deeply concerned with the energy issue. And I'd like to say on behalf of the group that we are extremely impressed with the diligence and thoroughness with which the study was carried out. It reflects extremely well upon the planning department and upon the staff of the planning department. And we actually think this will probably serve as a model for other counties who look to Tompkins County for leadership. And I'd like to thank Ed Marks and the department for this excellent piece of work. That's
thank
all.
You for your comments. Anyone else wish to speak?
My name is Amy Rise, and I'm here to represent the Environmental Management Council. And we also are very supportive of the plan, and we have some additional comments from review from an environmental review committee. And there are two points that we'd like to make. One is that because of the global scale of the problem, we feel that there should be some sort of action item or a plan to facilitate communication between local government, state, and federal. So we'd like to see that incorporated into the plan. And we also have a suggestion about the wording of when oil shortages are estimated to come, and we feel that there should be an emphasis stating that they're now and not expecting them in the future. More specific details on the locations of where we'd like to see wording changes are outlined in our comments. I was asked to attend to present these comments. I'm not sure who the appropriate person to hand them to. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who'd wish to speak to this topic? I'll just remind you that we'll be voting on this at our next meeting. The Planning, Development, and Environmental Quality Committee has some wording that they're going to be forwarding as well. If there's no further comment, I'll close the public hearing. I invite you to stand and join me in the pledge leading to the flag. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The roll call of members.
Ms. McAsey?
Present.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne?
Present.
Mr. Proto?
Here.
Mr. Randall?
Here.
Ms. Robertson?
Here.
Mr. Shinagawa?
Here.
Mr. Sigler?
Here.
Mr. Stevenson?
Present.
Mr. Burbank?
Here.
Ms. Chalk?
I'm here.
Mr. Dennis?
Here.
Mr. Hattery?
Yes.
Ms. Ferreira has asked to be excused. Ms. Kiefer? Mr. Kaplinka-Lair?
Present.
14 members present.
Petitions, communications, and notices.
Communications are on the desks.
We have no special orders of the day, so we will move on to privilege the floor for the public. Is there anyone here? No, we have some people who signed up in advance, and then others who haven't, we can move to you. First one who wishes to speak is Yvonne Dawson.
I'm here to talk about the Department of Social Services.
And Yvonne, can you just mention where you're from? What municipality are you from?
I live in Groton, New York.
Thank you.
In April 11th, Sandra Loy came into my home from Child Protective, and on April 18th, I had two granddaughters removed from my home for being in imminent danger. I've been fighting with the Department of Social Services to get these girls returned. Ever since they were taken from me, they've been in foster care with non-relatives. Since April 18th, I've seen the girls were age 3 at the time they were removed. I've seen Alana for three supervised hours since April 18th. I had custody of her for almost a year when she was removed. Rhiannon, I've seen exactly once since she was removed. Yesterday in the mail, I get from New York State a reversal of Tompkins County's decision. Tompkins County indicated me in a report. New York State has founded that report to be unfounded. Yesterday, Alana was released to her mother. Today, I'm trying to get Rhiannon out of foster care and return to either myself or my daughter, Michelle. I think Tompkins County should pick up Michelle's attorney fees and help her out with that. She's been working two jobs, paying for an attorney, trying to get her daughter out of foster care, paying child support. Why her daughter's been in foster care. Our family has been separated. The kids have been traumatized by this removal. That Sandra Loy has done a favor to her brother by getting these kids removed from my house. I can't get a meeting with any of the people at social services. I can't get any phone calls back. Anita's been trying to help me do this, Anita Fitzpatrick. And something needs to be done at the Department of Social Services. And I'm willing to meet with anybody that would like to talk to me.
Thank you, Yvonne. The other person who had submitted a slip has already spoken under the public hearing portion. Is there anyone else who'd like to speak to us on any matter? If not, thank you. We'll move on to the privilege of the floor for county legislators. Jim Dennis.
Thank you, Michael. As I mentioned last meeting, the United Way campaign contest between the county and the city is ongoing, although the noise is not very high. It is continuing, and Shinova Moody, who is the personnel assistant, has been dealing with the city, and we have actually had a number of county employees who have requested new United Way cards because they misplaced their others, and so the campaign has actually improved a little bit from the county point of view. We have another 12 days, I believe, involved in it, and so it would be wonderful if we could continue the slow movement upward in getting participation. We sent out an email that said we were looking for a minimum $5. It was not the money as much as it was the participation, and I'm encouraging all legislators to please join in that contest also. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jim. I hope we can hit 100% for the legislature. Anyone else who wishes to speak? Frank Proto?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have three items I'd like to bring to your attention. First, the easiest one. The Voice Your Choice program, I know Jim Dennis is waiting with bated breath for these NYSEG missiles. You have until the end of this month to sign in or weigh in on your electricity choice. This is like a public service announcement. If you might want to remind your constituents, if they don't choose for themselves, NYSEG will put them in the default option, which is the most expensive option. The fixed price option is the other choice, and of course the ESCOs are a series where you can buy your power from another supplier. But you might want to remind your constituents that they need to pay attention this month to sign up and get it done. Otherwise you'll be stuck for a whole year as of January 1st. The other two items. Oh.
I had a question about that. If you had last year, for this year, voiced your choice and you want to continue with that same company.
You've got to do it all over again. You have to renew your. I've gone through that for 3 years. You have to actually let them know that you want to do it all over again and submit the same postcard or whatever you completed.
Well, the mail I got from the company I had chosen for this year said I had to do nothing, I would continue with them. So I'm getting mixed messages.
Well,
maybe other people are too.
Well, I know that I had to re-up and resubmit.
Thank you.
Second item?
Second item. These are companion items. You know, the governor has been asking for us to come up with methods where we can suggest ways for the state to address their budget shortfall. I have two items I would like to pass on, and I'm glad Joe's getting a piece of paper out there. The first, there's a little humor in this one, but not too much. The first is with regard to the pieces you've been reading in the journal about the Seneca Indians and the dispute that's been going on regarding sales tax and also can they build the casinos and whatnot. My suggestion would be to dispatch Mike Stamm up to Albany to negotiate a pilot, a payment in lieu of taxes, and perhaps the state government has never heard of such a thing, but they might be amenable to having a payment in lieu of taxes, and it would address the sales tax issue as well as permit them to build a casino so that they can continue to provide those 6,500 jobs that were, it was in the paper the other day. The IDA does that, and others do. That's why I suggested Mike Stamm, because he's negotiated those before. The second item is a little more involved. For those of you that may remember, we have an enormous amount of property in this county that's receiving some sort of an exemption, property tax exemption. Other counties are too, but Tompkins is one of the highest, if not the highest. There's a section of real property tax law called 420A, 420A, that addresses a piece called land banking, and I'll describe that in a minute. And it also needs to be amended so that we can provide the state some guidance. The land banking piece, this is not the most popular item in the world, but we have a number of not-for-profit organizations in this state, churches, fraternal organizations, not-for-profits and whatnot. You know, the Farm Bureau is one, for instance, that own an enormous amount of property that is off the tax roll. There was a proposal made in the Senate a number of years ago where the organization that owned the property would designate that within the next 5 years they would use X number of acres of that property, and that would, that number of acreage would receive, continue to receive the exemption. Anything above that number of acreage would be taxed at the going tax rate. And that way there was some incentive for the organization not to have a forever tax rate. That could be addressed in 420A of the real property tax law. The second is, you're going to think this is a little strange coming from me, but the second addresses sharing the profits on sale. We, as a county, give out an enormous number of tax breaks, and I, for one, receive one on my farmland. I mean, we're assessed as a part of it is a farm. And I have to sign a paper with the assessor's office that if I change the use of that property, that I have to go back, in some cases it's 5 years, in some cases it's 8 years. And if I sell the property for commercial use and take it out of agriculture, I have to pay what the taxes would have been if they were used for any other purpose but agriculture. What I'm suggesting is that anyone who, any organization or any entity or any individual that receives that kind of an incentive, and this is going to be very unpopular, if they have been the recipient of the tax exemption and they've enjoyed that for several years, that when the property is sold, if they sell it at an appreciated value, at the market value, and obviously that they can walk away with an enormous amount of profit that happens in this town all the time, that they have to share a percentage of that profit with whatever entity, the county, the city, the village, wherever the property is located. Ain't going to be a popular one. All my development friends are probably listening in, and Jim is taking notes, so I'm sure I'll hear from somebody from Trumansburg. But if the state really wants to get their arms around some of the abuses that go on in this particular area, and in my opinion, it is an abuse, because if you're selling property at a vastly appreciated value, and you know that happens, I think the taxpayer who has shouldered the burden of the tax break ought to share in that profit a little bit. My two suggestions for the state to bail themselves out.
Thank you, Frank. On to Pam.
I'd just like to report from the Transit Services Committee from TCAT that the figures for October's ridership for the TCAT was up 8% from a year ago, which is quite a substantial increase in riders. And what was particularly interesting is the dramatic increase in riders ridership in rural areas. Since TCAT has taken over Tioga Transit, there's a bus that goes out through Brooktondale out to Newark Valley and back, and they used to use a van, and they now use a full-size bus, and that is packed every day. So that is exciting news for transit in Tompkins County and for TCAT, and makes our support for TCAT all the more valuable, because it's clearly filling a need, a growing need on the rural areas and city too.
Thank you, Pam.
Mr. Chair.
Nathan's next.
I want to ask
all right, quickly.
I yield my time.
Pam, did you want to say something about the route expansion at this Skyler?
Oh, I'm sorry, about what?
Skyler.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Frank. I forgot that. In case you didn't hear it, we have the deal with Schuyler County. TCAT has now signed a contract with the Schuyler County, and they will be having buses, commuter buses, going out there in the mornings and in the evenings, two buses in the mornings and two buses in the evenings. And it's a very exciting deal. It's the first time that we really are, besides the small Tioga County area that we go to, it will be the first, our first foray into another county supported by that county, and it is, I think, in TCAT's future that we will see more of this, and it will really help stabilize and solidify TCAT's funding and status.
Thank you. Nathan.
Yep, I just wanted to say that, you know, the big buzz right now in the news is that, you know, our Senator Hillary Clinton will likely become Secretary of State under the Obama administration, and Patterson has the opportunity now to appoint a new senator, and so I just wanted to weigh in on that. I think there are plenty of qualified women in this state that Patterson should consider, plenty of qualified people of color as well, and especially I think Patterson should look into an upstate voice. I think that most of our leaders, whether it be statewide elected leaders, also those that are our speaker, majority leaders and whatnot, all hail from the New York City area or from Long Island. And I think that we need an upstate voice in that selection of senator, especially because in upstate we have very specific needs, whether it be property taxes or a true understanding of the need for job creation and economic development. So with that said, I'm too young. I have like 5 years to go before I'm even qualified. So I would gladly support any of you if you are interested. So, and with that, that's all.
I accept the nomination.
You do? Okay. All right.
Thank you, Nathan. Anyone else wish to speak? If not, we'll move on to report from municipal official. Herb Engman is here from the town of Ithaca. Welcome, Herb.
Thank you all. First, I want to thank all of the Tompkins County legislators who have come to the town of Ithaca to report on county activities over the past year. It's been wonderful, and I will apologize a little bit that our reporting back has not been quite as regular as we had anticipated. Four of our seven members are new in 2008, and two joined in the middle of the year, so We've had a little bit of a problem, but we will all be coming back in 2009, so we hope to get a little bit more regular. As most municipalities have done, we faced a budget challenge this year, but I did want to report that in our past budget, we do have a contribution to TCAT for $50,000, for the Tompkins County Library for $20,000, and we've joined TCAD, the Tompkins County Area Development, for the first time. So those are some new initiatives that we're trying. And the reason, quite frankly, is that, at least I'll just speak for myself and not necessarily for the other town board members, that we are looking at becoming maybe a bigger municipal citizen in the sense of sharing some of the load that we see and trying to respond to some of the needs in the town. The town of Ithaca, I think I've mentioned to you before, our main problem is managing growth. We're growing very fast. We have reached 20,000 in population. For comparison purposes, the city of Ithaca is 30,000. We are growing at three times the rate of the city of Ithaca. So we are big and getting bigger all the time. And one of the problems we have is that we have little commercial tax base, that we have to raise our money primarily off our homeowners, and that's one of the difficulties of raising big chunks of money. And so we don't know what we'll be able to do in the future, but at least we're trying this and making our best effort. I did want to mention at least one project that we're working with Tompkins County, and that's the Route 96 corridor study. I've read all the reports and gone to the presentations, and it's been absolutely wonderful. We believe that the study, so far at least, certainly supports the town's goal of fostering nodal development in the town to manage some of that growth in an environmentally and economically sustainable way. And it doesn't hurt when it comes to TCAT and some of the other services when you've got a nodal development where there's enough of a population to support more bus service. So again, thanks to Ed Marks for all of the wonderful work that the Planning Department has done, and most particularly on this Route 96 corridor study. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Herb. Is there any other municipal officials here who don't recognize? All right, then we'll move on to our special presentation of the evening. This is Katie Borghella, the planner regarding energy and greenhouse gas emissions, which will be one of our resolutions our next meeting.
Is the projector on?
No. Oh, yeah,
no, it is.
It's still
on.
It's orange.
You could sit
down. Does that mean it's on?
Flashing.
I don't want to crawl over the desk here, but is there a button on the back?
Did the school district give you an AV card?
Yeah,
AV card. Did you? Fix it then. If she has something, I'm just going to play.
What's that
one? That's
it. You've got a black screen.
I'm trying to show you.
Sorry.
Can you fix it?
Okay,
we got it.
Oops.
Now
we got some green. It's flashing, though.
It worked like 15.
It is not green.
So maybe when they plugged in their boom box.
Oh,
it's true. It did work 15 minutes ago.
Wow. I guess we can do without PowerPoint if we need to. Don't have fancy graphics up there or anything, but it's easier to. Oh, there's something.
Here comes something.
Yeah, there's something.
Thank you, Karen.
Karen. Yeah. Andy, the person.
Okay, yeah. While we're waiting, let me just say that the in your package for the committee, for the tonight's meeting was it looked like this, a packet of information about this. So pull this out for the next meeting, because this is what we will be discussing, but this is meant to give you a little extra time and look at it. There's the whole element is there, plus the pages and pages of comments from
from the community, so that's what this looks like for next meeting. Good filler, Martha. Thank you very much. Great. So I'm Katie Borghello, Principal Planner with the Planning Department, and I'm here to talk to you tonight about a lot of work that us planners have been doing the past year. We've been studying the issues of energy and greenhouse gas emissions with the goal of hoping to incorporate that into our county comprehensive plan. Just as an overview, in 2004, the county legislature adopted the comprehensive plan, and kind of the overarching theme of it were these interlocking puzzle pieces. At the time, we studied housing, transportation, and jobs, the environment, which was water resources and natural features, and neighborhoods and communities. And we also made a big effort of trying to show the linkages between all of these different elements, because they really are interrelated. So this element obviously deals with energy and greenhouse gas emissions. And just to let you know, it supports and is supported by other elements of the plan that are there already. Promoting nodal development patterns certainly has a positive impact on energy sustainability. Developing alternative transportation options. We've got a lot of information there on building local jobs and businesses and protecting our rural resources and natural features. So why are we wanting to do this, preparing for energy transition, planning for it? We, as we talked to people during the past year, heard from many members of the community who are already struggling with the budget issues around this rising energy and commodities prices. While we had a reprieve in that the last couple of months, really experts seem to agree that by the time the economy rebounds at some point, hopefully, the prices will rebound with it. And in a way, it presents us with a bit of an opportunity to get ahead again on the planning to deal with these high prices when we see them once again. We also are fortunate in our community. We have a lot of local initiatives that have already been taking off. Studying these issues, we were able to tap into great local sources of information as we worked on this plan. And also, we feel that there is an economic opportunity here to kind of position ourselves in the region to take a leadership role in green job development and green business development. Just to give you a little timeline, we've been kind of fast-tracking this. We started it in February with a steering committee. There was a subcommittee of the Planning Advisory Board, had a lot of EMC participation as well. In the spring, we sat down with many of our local experts, which we're fortunate to have a lot of local experts on these topics, and had interviews, had a lot of discussions to learn about it. Had a meeting in June to present to the public and hear back from them on how the direction we were headed. We drafted the element. This fall, we did quite a bit of outreach. We did direct mailings to all the municipalities and planning boards. And we had public meetings in several locations throughout the community and went to specific meetings of this interest area as well and talked to them. And then, of course, we are now bringing it to you. Just to give you a snapshot of what our community energy picture looks like, 2006 data was used for an emissions inventory that was done in the county, showing that transportation is the sector that uses the most energy, with 42%. And residential commercial, that's really our buildings, heating and lighting the buildings, takes up half of the energy use, and industrial making up the remainder. And you see with the energy sources that really reflects the energy use, with transportation calling on gasoline and diesel, residential and commercial, the other sources there that support building and lighting, or heat and lighting. So the principle that we're putting forward in the element is really a four-pronged approach. It's reducing energy demand, improving energy efficiency, transitioning to renewable sources of energy, and then reducing greenhouse gas emissions. So reducing the amount of energy we consume, that's really steps that everyone can take. It could be as simple as installing a programmable thermostat in your own home or businesses could put in business controls that look, or building controls that really look at where the heating and lighting should be in the high use areas of their buildings. Government could take a lead by developing interconnected bike and ped systems so that people don't always have to get in their car. They would have more options to get to work or school. When we talk about increased energy efficiency, what we're really talking about is reducing the amount of energy required to achieve the same result. So if your goal is to have cold food, you can do it with a refrigerator that uses a lot of electricity, or you could use it, you could get an Energy Star model that uses less electricity and still gives you cold food. It's something that you could kind of build into your life with when your refrigerator dies, you could get a new one and make a choice to get one that's more efficient, that type of thing. And in recognition of the fact that we will always need energy, no matter how well we conserve, we need to start incorporating renewables into our energy portfolio. And we're fortunate here that we have a lot of renewable energy sources that are viable. Solar, despite the clouds, it's actually works fairly well in our area. Wind, biomass, water, methane, geothermal are all examples of renewable energy sources here. And finally, we'd like to work on reducing our emissions. And the way to do that primarily is by activating the first three components of the principle. The other thing that you can do in addition is to manage and protect the natural resources that naturally remove carbon from the atmosphere or carbon sequestration. And that's better managing and protecting our forests, agricultural lands, soils, waters, and wetlands. So although it's a difficult topic to get your mind around and to think about too much, there are some benefits that we could see from this energy transition. Again, this strong local economy, there are some positive aspects of green-collar jobs, being high-paid jobs, and building green businesses. Also, if people don't want to pay as much money for their transportation, they may choose to live in population centers that are already here. So they'd be living in walkable mixed-use communities that would offer them more convenience, more social interactions, and all those things can build stronger communities. We could have improved building design and the infrastructure for our transportation system and preserve our natural resources. So the element contains eight policies that would guide county government decision-making and 17 actions that could be taken by county government as well as our community partners to move this forward. Tonight, I don't really want to go through all 17 action items and all the policies with you, so I would like to run through the policies, and I've selected examples of the action items that support these policies so you have some flavor of that. So the first one is this reducing community greenhouse gas emissions 80% by 2050. And we heard from many people in the community as we brought this out to them that that is such a big, overwhelming goal that it would be really helpful to have smaller, bite-sized pieces of that. And so one of the action items here is to develop a 5-year strategy to reduce the emissions by 10%. Because there are so many efforts going on already in the community, sometimes one group is doing something great that another group really should know about, but they're not hearing about it because there's so much going on. So one of the policies is to foster coordination. And an example of that is an educational campaign on energy issues. And fortunately, the Cooperative Extension is already doing a lot of this, and they've agreed to even do more in this area. Third policy is having to do with our waste stream management and the idea that energy is such a big bit of solid waste. And so the action would be to develop a strategy to divert 75% of the waste stream from landfills by 2015. Fourth policy is creating financial mechanisms and incentives that foster investment and the systems and programs necessary to achieve this principle of reducing energy demand and the efficiency and renewable energy. And this action item is to investigate the feasibility of a low interest revolving loan fund to improve payback or the return on investment that you hear a lot with energy efficiency work that needs to be done. And this policy is getting at the idea that we might have all of these buildings that need help. We should make sure that the new buildings and the new investments are done in such a way that they're good energy-wise, that they're not going to suck up the energy and cost a lot of money in retrofits in the future. And one way we could support this is by identifying a model building energy code. And that is something that there are supports at the state to do, and we would then present that to local municipalities and educate them on it, and then it would be their decision whether that would work in their community or not. The sixth policy is looking at development of local renewable energy sources and technologies. One thing we could do here is a regional consortium of sustainable biomass growers. Just looking at the vast forest and agricultural and pasture resources that we have here and the surrounding counties, and seeing what we can do in terms of strength in numbers, so to speak, and building demand as well as giving supply. This one deals with Tompkins County government specifically, looking at our facilities and buildings and making sure that we optimize energy efficiency, transition to renewable, and just enhance the environmental sustainability of our own facilities and buildings. The action item supporting that, one of them is adopting an administrative policy that all major new investments in our buildings will be certified LEED, or Leadership in Energy and Environmental Design, Silver or higher. And the final policy is to consider energy usage and greenhouse gas emissions when making a whole host of decisions, that it's actually brought to the fore in the discussions. And one example of that is the Metropolitan Planning Organization's long-range transportation plan, which they're in the process of updating, to make it make sure it includes these energy greenhouse gas emissions provisions. So that is my brief presentation. We would, you know, enjoy having a discussion tonight for as long as you can afford, but wanted you to know that we are available, both Ed and I, to discuss this, any aspect of this. We'd really like to get any specific concerns addressed, if possible, before the December 16th vote on the resolution.
We have the draft resolution in the packet that was handed out tonight. There's over 200 comments on action items and policies and general comments. We have some endorsement letters in the back. We have time for some brief reflections. Frank?
Katie, is the memo that you sent to us on November 24th entitled Energy and Greenhouse Gas Emissions Element, is that the most recent draft of the policy itself?
The attached element?
Yes.
It is?
Yes.
Okay. And where can the public get a look at this if they'd like to?
They could go to...
This is not a setup, right?
They could go to that website in blue. It's posted on the website.
Thanks.
Other comments or questions? Martha?
Yeah, Leslie Schill also worked together with Katie on this all year, and... I know she couldn't be here tonight, but I just want to mention that. And I'm just wondering, so the comments that were made tonight from the committee of the EMC, mm-hmm. What exactly would happen to those comments?
They actually were reviewed by PDEC at their last meeting. It was in the memorandum that we put together for that, but...
Okay. Those were among the things where you answered each one and said, well,
yes.
We incorporated this or we didn't incorporate that.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And EDGY itself is on the web, so people can go take a look at that. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Carol Chalk.
Yeah, maybe normally we would wait until we discuss and approve the plan, but since Katie is here, I can't resist the impulse to point this out. As a planner myself, to point this out, as I happen to agree with the direction of the plan, but even if I didn't, to cite this as the picture-perfect model of a well-led citizen planning process, the deliberateness with which you went through formulating a plan, engaging in a process, creating the 6 focus groups, the 14 public outreach items, the countless individual and advisory board inputs. You conducted these steps, and then it is so evident throughout the whole thing, the ways in which and the steps that you took to incorporate, respond to, revise, and improve the plan in response to the many citizens who were moved to come out. It was really a picture-perfect model of how to engage in a planning process, and I want to thank you for it.
Thank you. I will say that this element has gotten incredible response in the community, just a lot of interest in it, and a lot of people very, very supportive that the county is looking forward and trying to do something proactively.
I would add that it's absolutely bold goals that I think make us all proud, so thank you very much. If there's no further comments, we'll move on.
I have a comment.
Certainly. Why don't you come up to the mic and state your name and your capacity and where you're from in the county?
I'm Jerry Jones, and I've lived in Tompkins County area for 35 years. I really like the direction of the plan. I really like the renewable emphasis of the plan. But I find that it has a little bit of impracticality. So my question is, first of all, how do you intend to enact this? Educational programs are really fine and well, but it looks as though a lot of the onus of responsibility in terms of costs is going to go on to the homeowner like me. So it used to be, for instance, that somebody would come around to your home and say, do you want an assessment? And we have these certain things available to you at a lower cost. For instance, I had something put on my faucet that adjusted the amount of water coming out, and I was given a compact fluorescent. My entire house is compact fluorescent now. So I wonder whether there are going to be thoughts given to particular thermostat systems being made available through the county at a lower cost if people decide that they want to switch over, that if you buy in a larger package, that people would get it at a lower cost, and these kinds of opportunities for people to change. For me, I'd love to have solar energy. It costs $40,000, even with the incentives right now, to switch my house to solar energy. And so the practical aspects of this seem to me vague.
If you could just be brief, Katie, and then maybe a conversation can ensue as
sure.
the presentation.
Love to talk to you.
Yeah.
Available to volunteer.
Well, I will just kind of emphasize that this is a planning document, and a lot of the action items in here are to develop feasibility studies and programs, and a lot of the in-depth analysis that you're talking about for actual programs will come out of our action items. And we do have a special kind of recognition of the effect of these energy prices on the low-income households in particular, and have an action item that addresses that specifically, that they really will share an undue amount of burden with this energy costs.
I especially like the idea of having a general body where these concerns are going to be shared, because it's very hard to kind of determine where you're going to put your energy because you're fragmented right now.
Yes.
As far as the low interest, I'm sorry, my name is Amelia Stevens. I live in Trumansburg. I also own a house in the town of Ithaca. As far as the low-interest revolving loan fund, the new development, and the local renewable energy sources, we just want to have ourselves included in that. We're Ithaca Biodiesel, and one of the stumbling blocks we've run into is funding. So we would really like you to include us in your plans. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Thank you, Katie. Any further comments from legislators? Martha?
Yeah, I just say as this sort of idea came up at the last PDQ when we talked about this, the action items in pretty much the rest of the comprehensive plan, the planning department has taken them on one at a time, and in many cases it's another partner, whether it's TCAT or TCAD or various other players in the community. And much of the funding has come from grants written, you know, using the document as the policy guide, and grants have been written to bring in resources to support particular initiatives. And it also just is a sort of a way to direct work of existing staff. So there's been a lot accomplished with the rest of the comprehensive plan and the action steps without literally new tax, property tax dollars. But I'm really looking forward to developing, and PDQ has started talking about, a package of initiatives that we can present to our federal representatives as part of the economic, to take advantage of the economic stimulus package that they are talking about and talking about passing early in the year. And I think this document will really strengthen our case to the feds even further. So it's obviously a constant effort to look for dollars wherever we can, and this is going to help us do that.
Thank you very much. If there's no further questions, we'll move on. For Chair's report, I'll just remind you that we have a joint legislature department head meeting on the 18th of December, 2 weeks from this Thursday. It's 3:30 to 5:30. I think Joe's going to speak to it in more detail and pass out a draft agenda. Afterwards, it's a tradition that the legislature hosts a party inviting department heads as a thank you for accomplishments throughout the year. That tradition will continue after our meeting on the 18th for an hour and a half or so over in the town hall. So you and a guest are invited, and you've got an invitation on your desk. I have no chair's appointments. Report by county administrator.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Why don't I begin there with the meeting on the 18th. Again, this is something we talked about at the last meeting, a joint legislature department head meeting. I have drafted an agenda that I'd like to leave behind. These are suggestions about what the agenda items might be for this meeting. Our goal is to have a relatively few number of items on the agenda so that we can get a pretty full and complete discussion about each of those. They will range from basically communication patterns within the organization to performance management to our old favorite, our new favorite, the status of the state budget and an update on that. So again, the goal is a few items that we can get into depth of discussion. I'll leave behind a draft agenda. I've circulated this today also to department heads for their input as well. So again, it's December 18th, 3:30 to 5:30 at the town hall. My only other item on my agenda tonight is to thank you for the time you spent with me in the one-on-one meetings. I think I've talked to almost all of you. I think there's one who I haven't talked to yet. He knows who he is. So I do appreciate the time you spent, and I've gotten great value out of that, the discussions that I've had. I'm also almost through with the one-on-ones with all of our department heads. So through the combination of the meetings with you and department heads, I've certainly learned a great deal about the way the county operates, and frankly, my opinion hasn't changed. I think it's a very well-run organization, and I'm still pleased to be here. So I appreciate all the time you spent with me and with some daylight on my schedule. Hopefully calls will be returned a little quicker and things like that with a little daylight emerging. So, again, thank you. Thank you for that.
Thank you, Joe. Frank.
Mea culpa, Joe. By the way, a compliment on the op-ed piece in the paper. That was enlightening.
Ready to move on? County attorney?
No report.
And Finance Director David Squires?
No report.
All right. Are there resolutions to be added? Jim Dennis?
Michael, may I ask, there was some discussion, or at least there, I have some memory that we were going to do an executive session. Is that still going to be happening?
I think Joe is still intending a brief executive session regarding negotiations.
Yes.
After the meeting? Okay.
At the end of the meeting?
Yes. Resolutions to be added to or withdrawn from the agenda? If none, we'll move on to consent agenda. These are resolutions not expected to be controversial that can be passed in a single vote. There are many of them, so as I'm reading, if you know in advance you want one pulled, let me know. And we also have a number of appointments. We'll start with the appointment list to the Library Board of Trustees, David Wheel and Marcy Rosenkrantz, to the Public Information Advisory Board, Jeff Dunn and C.J. Delvecchio, to the Environmental Management Council, Michael Miles, to the Advisory Board on Indigent Representation, Lucy Gold, Alan Hayes, and Gino Bush, to the STOP DWI Advisory Board, Gwen Wilkinson and Pat Bouchel, to the Traffic Safety Committee, Tom Ferretti, to the Emergency Communications Review and Oversight Committee, Peter Meskel, to the Local Emergency Planning Committee, Jeff Dunn, to the Criminal Justice Advisory Board, Alternatives to Incarceration Board, Sue Robinson, and to the Tompkins Consolidated Area Transit, known as TCAT Board of Directors, Frank Proto. The resolutions for Government Operations Committee, Resolution A, Date of Organizational Meeting, Planning, Development, and Environmental Quality Committee, Resolution B, Endorsement of Memorandum of Understanding, and Pledge to Work with Economic Development Collaborative for countywide evaluation of existing water and sewer infrastructure. From Budget and Capital Committee, Resolution C, approving completed tax rolls and directing the executing and delivery of warrants. Resolution D, town and city budgets and printing of tax rates. E, authorization for Director of Finance to make year-end transfers, appropriations, and budget adjustments as required. Resolution F.
Off.
Off, thank you. Resolution G, workers' compensation budget and apportionment, mutual self-insurance plan. Resolution H, authorizing payments for community college operating budget. Resolution I, delegating to the finance director of the County of Tompkins, New York, the power to authorize the issuance of and to sell $8 million in revenue anticipation notes of said county in anticipation of receipt of state aid during the fiscal year of said county commencing January 1st, 2009. And Resolution J.
Off.
From the Public Safety Committee.
Off, please. Off.
Okay. Facilities and Infrastructure Committee. Resolution L, authorizing the filing of an application to New York State for the Household Hazardous Waste State Assistance Program and signing of the Associated State Contract under appropriate laws of New York State. Resolution M, authorizing acceptance of supplemental grant agreement to the 10-year master agreement from the New York State Department of Transportation to construct runway 1432, safety area improvements, to complete obstruction clearance, and to construct the parallel taxiway relocation. Hopefully someone would stop me in advance next time on that long one. Resolution N, authorizing acceptance of supplemental grant agreement to the 10-year master agreement with New York State DOT to demolish hangar to allow for apron expansion at the Tompkins Regional Airport. Resolution O, authorization to execute supplementary right-of-way funding agreement with New York State DOT, Hanshaw Road Reconstruction. Resolution P, authorization to execute supplemental agreement with Fisher Associates for design and right-of-way services, Hanshaw Road Reconstruction Project. From the Human Resources Committee, Resolution Q, authorization for program reconfiguration, records, and central services. Who would like to move the consent agenda? Pam, seconded by Tyke. All in favor? Are there any opposed? That's unanimous. We've got a good bulk of work done already tonight. Congratulations. I'm going to move on to standing committee reports, but because there's some staff waiting, I'm going to move up Public Safety Committee. Greg, can you give your report and move to Resolution U?
Sure. Do you want me to give my report, Mike?
Sure, that'd be great.
Okay. This is probably the longest public safety report I've ever given, actually. We met on November 21st, and the committee listened to the sheriff give a report on some efforts that he's conducted regarding polling employees and essentially getting employee input about the operation there, what they've done with that input, and changes that they have made, may contemplate making, or want to analyze as to its, their effect on the operations there. So that's rooted in the employees filling out these surveys, and I was pleased to hear that the sheriff was conducting that project. We heard from Lee Shurtleff, the Department of Emergency Response. Lee talked a little bit about his plans for demobilizing our old radio system. Lee was also kind enough to bring me some leftover duct tape and baling twine from the ribbon cutting of the new radio system. We heard from Pat Buchel in the probation department about monitoring, mostly if not all electronic, of all sorts of different types that the probation department is looking at, and in many cases preparing to implement. It was very interesting. I would suggest that if any of the folks on this board are interested in electric monitoring as a probation tool, that you talk to Pat. She's full of interesting information on the topic. And lastly, at the meeting, we appointed the task force to study the assigned counsel versus public defender issue or hybrid thereof. As you may or may not know, that task force will consist of one member of the Tompkins County Bar Association, two members of the Public Safety Committee, and four members of the ABIR board. And that essentially concludes the happenings of the Public Safety Committee that you're not going to hear about otherwise in resolution form tonight.
Frank has a question.
Greg, is there an outline of the charge to the group that you've just appointed for the review of the public defender versus, or the public defender / assigned counsel?
There is. There's not just an outline. There's the charge, the whole thing.
Where is that?
I would imagine that Kathy or Michelle could produce you a copy.
Thank you.
Any other questions? If not, we'll move on to resolutions.
I'd like to introduce Resolution U, authorization to proceed with governance structure for a multi-jurisdictional data sharing among county law enforcement agencies, including Law Enforcement Technology Shared Services, or LETS Group, and I so move.
And that's seconded by Mike Hattery. Is there discussion? Seeing none, are we ready to vote? All in favor of Resolution U as moved. And is there anyone against? That's unanimous. Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Greg and Kim.
Thank you.
I'd also like to move Resolution K, budget transfer, Sheriff.
Is there a second? Mike Hattery. Discussion.
I asked for this to be pulled based on a conversation I had with the finance director. It was a little bit unclear whether this should have gone to budget or not, but the fact that it didn't, David felt or suggested to me that this just not go through consent, that we actually vote on it. So I pulled it so that we can do just that.
Great. Thank you for that awareness. The comment before we vote, Dooley?
As long as it's off of consent, I'd like to ask, what kind of car was the ailing car?
I do not know. Ailing.
It wasn't a Z car.
It was a Honda Hybrid.
Are we ready to vote? All in favor? Anyone opposed? That's unanimous. And your last resolution?
I think that's it, isn't it?
You have V.
V?
V as in Victor.
Oh, yes.
I
Sorry, that was in the folder. I'd like to move Resolution V, appropriation from contingent fund, terminal pay reimbursement, Department of Emergency Response, and I'm moving the revised version.
Is there a second? Martha Robertson seconds. Are we ready to vote on the revised? Any comments? It's a short form roll call.
Ms. McAfee?
Yes.
Ms. Kiefer?
Yes.
Does anyone wish to be registered as a no vote? Seeing none, that's unanimous. Thank you very much, Greg. We will go back to the top of the agenda with my agenda in front of me. Government Operations Committee, Mike Hattery, Chair.
We have not met since our last meeting of the legislature. I would introduce Resolution R, setting the income limits for persons with disabilities and limited incomes and persons 65 years of age or older, real property tax exemption. I'm sorry, 65 years of age or older, real property tax exemption.
Is there a second? Greg Stevenson seconds. Questions or comments? Frank Proto?
No.
Any other discussion? Are we ready to vote? All in favor? Anyone opposed? That passes with one opposed. That was due. Thank you. We'll move on to Planning, Development, and Environmental Quality Committee. Martha Robertson, Chair.
Thank you. We haven't had a regular meeting since the legislature met last, but we met a special meeting this afternoon in which we approved the appointment of Frank Proto to the TCAP board for the 100th year. Seriously, very long and important service to TCAP. Thank you. We discussed and passed a revised resolution on gas drilling, which I'll talk about in a minute, and had a slight revision of the resolution adopting the energy greenhouse gas element. So that will come next meeting to this board. But I would like to move, if I can find it, Resolution S. And it's the one that says on your on the top, revised by committee.
Okay.
So here it is. Tompkins County comment on NYSDEC draft supplemental generic environmental impact statement DSGEIS on the oil, gas, and solution mining regulatory program for the Marcellus Shale. I so move.
Is there a second? Frank Proto seconds. Is there a discussion? Martha.
I just want to say that this resolution was very much a group effort with planning staff helping and Julie and Carol pitching in with significant additions and improvements to the original resolution. This really came out of a number of meetings that I'd been able to attend on the subject, but especially the meeting on November 24th of the advisory boards, joint advisory board meeting with several folks that the planning department had pulled this meeting together for the public as well. And that presentation with Susan Reha from Cornell Natural Resources, and I don't know, what guy from Frontera Energy and USGS. Thank you. I got there a few minutes late and missed the intros. It was a very informative meeting and well enough organized that we could put this resolution together. So,
other comments?
Happy to answer any questions.
Mike Sigler, then Carol, then Frank.
I came here tonight to actually support this, and I wish I had gone to the committee meeting because I would have argued against this one resolved. So I'm hoping you might remove it. And that's the resolve where you're asking the legislature to support H.R. 7231. I'm not even sure if I'm against that bill, but it's a federal bill. I'm not comfortable voting on it for that simple fact, plus the fact that, and then I did a little research and that kind of steeled my resolve on it, was that it was just introduced September 29th, 2008, so it's only a couple months old. This hasn't even gone to federal committee yet, and we're going to be passing this out of not only our committee, but our legislature is going to vote to basically, I feel like that would be us voting for this. So if you could remove that resolve, I'd be more than happy to support this, because I thought it was really well written.
Not seeing that as friendly, do you want to make that as an amendment?
Yes, I would.
Is there a second to the amendment? Mike Hattery seconds, so we're discussing the amendment. Any discussion on that before we vote? I saw hands on the main motion, but we're discussing the amendment. Dooley Kiefer?
I don't think I have the copy of this tiny little bill with me.
I do. It's short.
It's very short. Karen Fuller found it. And the reason for supporting it is that it does exactly what this long resolution tries to do, to make sure that potential environmental impacts of this hydraulic fracturing be scrutinized fully. And since in 2005, the Energy Policy Act, this kind of fracking was specifically exempted from the Safe Water Drinking Act. To remove that exemption so that it gets the scrutiny that is required for the Safe Drinking Water Act seems absolutely consonant with the rest of the language in this resolution. And the bill is in at least whatever the first committee is. So it's begun its rounds.
Hasn't been reported to committee yet.
Well, all I know is what Karen printed out for me, which gave me a different impression.
I have it right here. It's from the government track website. It's not. Mm-hmm. You know.
Further discussion on the amendment. Martha Roberts.
The what is now the third whereas that's in bold discusses this, and the exemption was in 2005. Is that right, Dooley? When the Safe Drinking Water. Okay. So that exemption has been in place for 3 years, and it seems this is extremely relevant to that exemption. Is extremely relevant to the whole issue we're talking about, and I think that our state delegations weigh in on federal legislation all the time. I know there was a big move, for example, about the Medicaid bill that's now being discussed in Congress, Medicaid supplementary Medicaid money to states. That was discussed before it came to Congress. NYSAC weighed in on that. I don't see that as a problem. I think that the issue is that this whole industry is presents an opportunity, but we need to really be careful, or it could present instead a huge cost to our communities.
This is discussion on the amendment. Oh. This, you know, is a removing of one resolve. That resolve may not have significant timing necessarily. We could address that at a later point. I have Mike Sigler, Nathan, and then some other hands.
The problem is New York State already has laws that regulate the safe drinking water part of this issue. So the bill that's being put forward by a congresswoman in Denver and by Maurice Hinchey wants to do the whole nation. And so now what we're asking this legislature to do is vote on something that doesn't even pertain to New York State. It pertains to the whole country. I find that to be a little bit of an overreach for Mike Sigler on the county legislature in Tompkins County.
Nathan, and then I'd like to move to a vote.
I have a procedural question.
Nathan?
I yield my time to a procedural question.
Okay.
I'd just like to know procedurally whether we can separate whereas and the resolved into a separate resolution. If it would achieve either unanimous, if the rest of all of the good work that's in this resolution would achieve unanimous or at least significant bipartisan support on our part, that we could be passing along to the state, I might consider. But only if we could also be voting tonight on a separate resolved resolution that we would also urge the legislature to weigh in on H.R. 7231.
You can move.
Maybe not quite as overwhelming support.
You can move that particular resolved out of this resolution and ask for it to be added to the agenda for voting on tonight. The typical way to do it would be actually to remove it based on the vote that Mike is asking to be taken and bring it through committee bring it to the legislature at a further different evening, because in this instance it may not be timely to vote on it tonight. But there is a way to bring it tonight if you want to. We're going to vote. We're voting on the amendment that Mike is offering. Nathan is next.
I think I'm going to pass.
Frank, did I see your hand?
No,
okay,
I'm
Martha.
The main resolution.
I'm not sure how I feel about it, but couldn't there just be a motion to separate?
Well, I don't believe Jonathan can give me advice as the parliamentarian. I don't think this particular motion to separate applies to what Carol was trying to do.
Yeah, I mean, interesting. Obviously, you can vote on Mike's resolution, which has been brought properly. It's an interesting question after you then bring up the resolution as a separate one, whether you need 10 votes to get it on the agenda. Probably yes.
I think you would. Yeah, but there is a way to do it. Are ready to vote on Mike's amendment to this resolution to take out that bolded resolved. All, Dewey?
I didn't understand what you meant by timely. Could you just explain what that was, what you were conveying?
Our sense of these comments are to get them in before December. The sense of that particular resolution to give direction to New York State regarding a federal law is not necessarily timely. We can give that direction to New York State regarding a federal law as the federal law works its way through the process.
Since I obviously think that we're less likely to get back to it.
Well, that's...
And I think it would be a pity to strip it from here. So
okay.
I will support Mike's
amendment. I think we're ready to vote. People know what they're voting on. This is an amendment to remove that one resolve. All in favor of the amendment? 2, 3, 4. Opposed?
I haven't voted yet.
Carol?
She hasn't voted yet.
I see 9 opposed, 4 in favor, and 1.
I've been in favor of separating them. So.
Are you in favor of Mike's
yes.
amendment to remove it?
Separate it, yes.
To remove was his... Okay, so that's 5 in favor, 9 opposed. Okay. That did not pass. So we're back to the main motion. I had Carol Chalk next, then Frank. On the main motion, now without the resolve taken out.
Oh.
I have you after Frank to leave.
I guess I wanted to comment on, first I wanted to thank Martha for having pulled this together. This is was very short notice from the very well-attended session that our planning department held to finally have a real concerted presentation with information presented by both the one of the companies that is the leasing companies, the Water Resources Institute at Cornell and the USGS. And it was a lot of good information, unlike some of the other sessions that we attended that seemed to be very one-sided. This was very balanced information and reasonable. I'm actually appalled at the shortness of time that we've been given by the state to register our comments. The gas companies have had years to prepare for this and knew that they were coming out and launching a campaign to sign up properties. And the public's been giving a very, very short time to understand all the complex issues involved and to respond with any kind of reasonable based on factual information. So I'm glad that we did, Tompkins County did get it together to take a reasonable look at this. I think this is a reasonable response, and I'd like to see us pass it.
Thank you, Carol. Frank, you're next.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A couple of items. First, I'd like to ask if the list to whom this resolution will be sent, assuming that it's passed, be expanded to include every town supervisor and town clerk in the county, because there's so much concern about the issue. I mean, and that includes the city.
Is that friendly?
Sure, I was thinking we would send it out to TCOG, but if you want to put it in the resolution.
No, I think we ought to, yeah, if you do it that way, that's wonderful, but I really think we ought to make sure the towns are aware of what's going on here because they've been instrumental in trying to understand it themselves.
Do you want to actually suggest, like after Cuomo, you want to put end?
Tompkins County Town and Village Clerks?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Just the clerk?
And the city. Send one to the city, too.
Okay.
And the village and city.
Sure, that's friendly. Thank you.
The next, I mean, I can't help but believe that this is going to pass. I hope it passes unanimously, considering the district that I represent. I mean, although we represent the whole county, there's been a lot of interest out in my neck of the woods. And not all of it pleasant. So I would hope that you would support this. And thirdly, I'm not sure I have to disclose this, but I will. Not only do a number of individuals in my district have they signed leases, I have also on my property. And I don't think that this would be a conflict, but I thought that I ought to let you know that.
Thank you. I have Dooley next, and Nathan.
Thanks. I was also, Carol, I was very impressed with Martha's diligence in crafting a really long and complicated resolution. She was obviously inspired by that meeting you referred to. But the public, I believe, will have a chance to weigh in at a later date on actual regulations. These are comments on a proposed scope for a supplemental EIS. To a 1992 one, and once the scope is agreed to and the supplement is done, the agency will presumably draft regulations, and those are usually subject to public comment. So I think that it's not quite as rushed as it may feel, because we took the time at the legislative level to look at the scope in such detail and as much other information as we could find. I'm sorry I wasn't at your meeting today, Martha. There was one other small change that I had hoped to bring up had I attended. Let me tell you what it is. It's on the second page of this revised committee resolution. It's the number 3 in the top half of the page, which refers to the last two lines, drilling sites, compression sites, and pipelines, all of which should be governed by regulations at least as stringent as those required for other construction sites. That was the expanded version, which had been talked about, but it didn't get sent to you in time for consideration.
Which should be governed
By
regulations at least as stringent
as those required for other construction sites.
Is that friendly?
Yes.
Friendly to the seconder?
Yep.
Thank you. Move on to Nathan.
I wasn't able to attend this last meeting, but I did go to the meeting about gas drilling that the Attorney General's office and a Southern woman lived in hosted at the Women's Community Building a few weeks ago. And I think a big frustration that many people in the audience had was that a lot of these presentations were all about the individual and how the individual can protect themselves. And the thing is that these individuals are trying to protect themselves from companies that have far more resources than they do, far more attorneys than they do. And so it leaves the individual in a very tough position. And I think I'm glad that that we're making a statement here that the state's doing something, because when so many individuals are having to deal with these gas companies and being put in tough situations and having all of the knowledge on how to proceed forward, I think it's important to have regulations like this in place. And so again, I'd like to thank Martha for putting together this resolution and all of us here for contributing to it, because I think it's important to protect all of these property owners, especially when they may not have the resources to do it alone.
Thank you. Mike Sigler?
I think you should add a couple things. I think you should add Representative Duguette, Representative Salazar, and Representative Hinchin Kabob. And I'll probably will support this for the simple fact that although I don't like that one resolve, it's not going to affect our state, or the people locally.
So I think the other things that are in this resolve are important enough, whereas I'm not going to worry about something that's not going to impact our people anyway.
And those CCs are friendly?
Sure. You said Salazar and Baguette?
Diana Daguette.
And Hinchy.
And Hinchy, right. Okay. And you'll get Kathy the spellings. Okay.
Are there any further comments before we vote? Martha Robertson?
Yeah. It was important, I thought, to comment on the scoping document, because even though, as Julie said, there will be time later to comment on the regulations themselves. If something doesn't get into the scoping document, they don't write regulations about it. If we didn't have anything about traffic in there, they wouldn't even go there. There would be nothing, and communities would be unprotected. I mean, so that's kind of was the idea here. I was really glad that I was able to get the help that I did in time, and I really also look forward to seeing the documents that the EMC and the WRC pull together. And they do have time to do this before December 15th, but this was kind of our last shot to get it in. Thank you.
Thank you. Call the question.
Thank you, Martha, and others who worked on this as a team. We are ready to vote. All in favor of revised by committee resolution S? Any opposed? That is unanimous. Thank you very much.
Thank you. PDQ meets next Thursday at 3 o'clock, and that's my report.
Thank you, Martha. Frank Proto.
Yeah, one item that I would like to add, if I could, to the committee report. And I want to thank Karen for helping getting the material together. In case you missed the legal notice in the journal, there was a notice about the DEC, one-day notice, revising or drafting comments to revise the regulations for MOUs and other items pertaining to streams and what the permits might require, what they might require under permits. It was more extensive than that. But Karen was able to retrieve a copy of the comments from the DEC in Syracuse. I've had a couple of those sets distributed to different departments. I think Planning got one, Public Works got one, Fernando got one, because there was a transportation piece in there too. But I would urge any of you who want to read those to get a hold of them, because some of the comments are a little telling as to what they want to change, and that could affect some of the work that we're doing, particularly on the Water Resources Council. So just to bring it to your attention, and that I should have reported this at the Planning Committee meeting earlier this afternoon. I forgot. Sorry.
Thank you. We're ready to move on to Budget and Capital Committee. I think we're on task to be finished with our 24 resolutions by 7:30. We continue at this nice pace. Nathan Shinagawa.
That's a challenge.
All right. Well, Budget and Capital Committee met last Monday, and we had an interesting discussion about the room tax and using a portion of the room tax for economic development. This is something that the Budget and Capital Committee has explored and looked into in the past, and we're bringing it up now again, and Mike Hattery is the one that has been leading that discussion. It's been a very, I think it's been a good discussion. We've recognized, I think, that that you would need to actually have the state change the law in order to allow that to happen. And so we'll discuss over the next few weeks whether or not we want to do that and ask the state to make that change. We had members of STPB there, including Stu Stein and others who weighed in as well, and I'm sure other committees will be looking at it. We plan to not rush the process. We want to make sure that all stakeholders have a chance to talk about this so that we can truly understand the impact of what we're doing. I think the sense of the committee was to continue talking about this and talking about the room tax money usage for economic development. We also had a discussion, and this is one of our resolutions, about the 1% local sales tax rate. And that discussion, well, it wasn't quite as extended of a discussion, but it did end up going towards looking again at the tax on shoes and clothing, no tax for shoes and clothes under, it's $110? $110. And so we've asked David and administration to look into how that, you know, if there's a way to estimate what that potential number would be. It's hard. You can't really, you have to use some formulas that I believe NYSAC has that could get close to an estimate, but there's no sure number on what that effect will be. But we'll try to get those numbers and continue with this discussion. You know, we're done with the budget now, so this is a time in which the Budget and Capital Committee can start exploring these type of policy issues, and so I look forward to these discussions. I have a few resolutions here.
Okay, I have two questions from...
Oh, sorry, yeah.
Dooley and Frank?
Yeah.
Nathan, the last time I remember us looking into the sales tax on shoes and clothing under a certain amount,
yeah,
the wording from the state indicated that if we signed on to whatever that dollar amount was, whenever we signed on to it, and the state upped that dollar amount, we would be bound by that. And that was the uncomfortable part of joining. So please look into that part of it.
Okay, too. Yeah, that's good. I did not know that. Yeah. Frank? Oh, sorry.
No, thanks. That's okay, Mr. Senator. Nathan, is the discussion on the room tax going to be expanded beyond the using it for economic development?
No, just for economic. Yeah, it's only, well, we're focusing it on economic development.
Is there any interest in expanding it beyond that?
If Mike would like to speak to that.
Well, there's 15 of us, but not in my book.
I think the general sense of the committee was that we were willing to move forward on a discussion about economic development, but we did not talk about anything else, any other use of that money.
Ready to move your resolutions? You have F?
Yep, I have resolution F, authorization to sign drafts, county administrator.
Is there a second? Mike Hattery, is there a discussion? Dooley Kiefer.
Yes, I ask that this be pulled off because I wanted to clarify exactly how far down what chain of command giving authority to might extend. And I consulted with Joe Mariana and he consulted with John Wood, and I have some language to suggest. The resolve at the end would say, and to delegate this authority to the Department of Finance. And there would be resolved further that county officials acting in their official capacity as custodians or other representatives of clients have authority to sign checks in furtherance of their fiduciary responsibilities. And that may seem mysterious.
Well, let's see if people captured it and if it's friendly.
Can you read?
The language is those who have to sign checks in their duties are still allowed to.
All right. And David and Joe, you're reading on that. We'll still allow you to do what you need to do.
And Jonathan, I think.
And Jonathan, yeah. Okay. All right. Well, then that's friendly with me.
And friendly to the seconder. Okay. Dooley, do you have further explanation?
Well, I didn't know if someone wanted an example of what that last language meant.
Well, why don't you give us one?
I was going to ask Jonathan to do that.
Okay. Well, I just, this was last minute, but there are, for example, many instances where either the Department of Social Services or Mental Health or some other part of the county will be responsible for the payments of certain people's expenses because they're not able to do so themselves. The county's appointed to do that. And so we have people in the department, it's used, for example, in the DSS, there are caseworkers who sometimes write checks. They're not really approved. In fact, county administrator wouldn't know anything about it. It's just part of their responsibilities as a case supervisor.
With that explanation, are we ready to vote on revised resolution F? With that language, all in favor? Is there any opposed? Looks like that's unanimous. On to Resolution J, I believe, was pulled.
Yep, I have Resolution J calling on the governor and state legislature to end the practice of passing costs for state programs to local and county governments.
Is there a second? Martha Robertson, second.
All right, and I pulled this only because I've heard that some people maybe wanted to make a statement about it. I just wanted to say that this was the same resolution that TCOG, the Tompkins County Council of Governments, passed, and it's just a resolution reiterating a point that we have made several times over the years that the state cannot shift the tax burden onto the counties, especially through use of unfunded mandates, because all that does is increase property taxes for people, which are among the most regressive forms of taxes, and we hope that the state will do its best not to continue that practice.
Are there comments?
No.
Are we ready to vote?
Okay.
Even though it was polled for the potential for comment. All in favor? Anyone opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you very much, Nathan. And on to T.
I have Resolution T, request for authorization to extend the additional 1% sales tax rate in Tompkins County.
Is there a second? Jim Dennis, second. Is there discussion? There's no discussion.
We're trying to abide by your wishes.
I like them. I just, my head did a swivel to Frank because you're always coming on it. This is a short form roll call.
No?
No. I'm ahead of myself. T. All in favor of T as moved. And is there anyone opposed? That's passing with one opposed. Tyke Randall.
I did want to make a comment about it. All I wanted to say is that I thought this was really interesting, that if we didn't have this 1% sales tax, it would necessitate a 27% increase in county property tax rates. I thought that was an interesting number to point out.
Yes, and I'll note there is actually a typo in the last whereas. It's 9,800,000, not 59,800,000.
Yeah. That is a major difference.
Thank you, Nathan. If there's no questions for the committee, we'll move on to Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee. Leslie McKean Claiborne, Chair.
No report. WDIC will meet on December 17th. It's an unusual date from when we meet, but ordinarily it'll be Christmas Eve day, I think.
Right.
And so we're meeting on the 17th, talking about our goals for 2009 and our spending plan.
Okay. Thank you for getting us a note of date change. On to Health and Human Services Committee. Frank Proto, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Health and Human Services will meet tomorrow at 3 o'clock. You're all welcome. An interesting agenda with regard to the various departments. We're going to have an update on the dental case management program. It's been distributed for information only, but that's a program that created some interest a couple of years ago. There's one item that I would like to bring to your attention, though, in addition. In case you missed it in the Ithaca Journal, there was an editorial in a day or so back that Gene McPheeters and Warren Allman co-wrote. About three or four weeks ago, I spoke with Ed Marks, Kathy Schlather, Gene's office, Fred Bond, and JB at United Way. For several years, some of us have been trying to get an element introduced into the county's comprehensive plan that deals with the impact of human services on this community. And what I discovered was Kathy's organization, the Coalition, is putting together a survey, and we're developing some questions. She's going to begin with how many jobs. There are something in excess of 420 not-for-profit 501c3s in Tompkins County. Not all of them are human service-related, by the way, but there's quite a cadre of them. Anyway, it was important to read that editorial because that was sort of the opening salvo of what the impact is on our community and what the impact would be if we didn't have the number of people and the services that are provided in that category. If you miss the editorial, I'll have Karen or run a couple of copies off and stick them in your mailboxes. It's a very, very well-written editorial, I thought. And just wanted to let you know that we hope to continue this. It might take 4 or 5 months to develop the kind of information that some of us would like to see. But it's important to know during budget season, when all of us, myself included, are interested in cutting programs, we need to know what the impact is if those programs are cut. And I think this is a good step for us to be taking. Excuse me.
Any other comment on the non-committee report? Martha.
Well, I appreciate that, Frank, that comment. It's probably also available on the web, too. But
the what?
I wanted to ask you, we haven't heard anything in HHS about Medicare Part D, about the prescription drug program, but when you talk about Voicer Choice and people re-upping, I think, isn't the same kind of re-enrollment requirement now coming due for Medicare Part D again, the drug?
I'll have to check that, but you remember that our local expert on Medicare Part D is Nathan Shinagawa.
Oh, really?
I remember a paper you wrote some time ago, Nathan, that addressed that.
Are we ready?
Well, Betty Falco will be at the meeting tomorrow.
Right. We'll look into it.
Are we ready to move on to Facilities and Infrastructure Committee? Leslie McBee, Claiborne, Chair.
F and I met on November 20th. Most of what we dealt with were on the consent agenda. We love accepting grants for demolishing stuff and building other things. And I want to make sure that the record reflects an opposition to a resolution that was passed earlier from Bernie Hutchins on the Hanshar Road project. His opposition as a neighbor and a long-term resident in Hanshar Road, that he is objecting to the manner in which the Highway Department and Fisher Associates has failed to take the right-of-way issue seriously. And he has some written comments that he submitted to the committee. We had a presentation by Labella Associates on the Brown Road project. And as we move forward, the project went out to bid for construction work on that project, and some estimated updated numbers from when we first estimated costs in 2007 to what it would look like in 2008, and there will be more information to come as that project moves along. We might not be able to do some of the cosmetic stuff that we'd like to do right away, but in time, I'm sure we'll make it the best facility for our county staff. I also do want to put on record a great thank you, one member of the public, Larry Chase, with two C's, did comment on the work happening at the airport and how responsive. It was a little disturbing, the trucks very early in the morning, two neighbors, and how responsive Bob Nicholas was. Couldn't do a whole lot about it, but some routes were diverted to help ease the noise of the trucks that are starting some ridiculous hour of the morning, 2 or 3 o'clock or something like that, and keeping neighbors awake. And so we just need to do a better job of alerting neighbors when we're doing work like that, that they should expect increased noise, and we'll do our best to mitigate the noise. He was very pleasant, and thanks to Bob for responding as positively as he did, although it wasn't a whole lot that we could have done about it. I have one resolution.
Carol, do you have a question?
I have a question about whether the bids have come back or with the schedule on which they were expected to receive them.
I know they went out. Ed, when are they due back? I think it's in January, yeah.
If there's no further questions, your resolution W?
Resolution W. authorize granting of easements to New York State Electric and Gas Corporation.
Is there a second? Tyke Randall? Is there discussion? Frank Proto, then Martha?
I would urge you amend this resolution. This, not because it's NYSEG, but because it smacks of the same arrangement regarding pipeline easements. And I have people in my district that have signed leases that are fixed, and that once the lease payment is made, the easement is forever, and they don't enjoy a continuous stream of income. At least this time around with the oil and gas companies, they're talking about renewing after 5 years with new payments on the new leases at that time. The fourth whereas here indicates that while NYSEG is agreeing to pay $900 for a temporary easement and $300 for a permanent easement, is that $300 annually, or is that $300 just as a one-time?
They are one-time.
Well, I don't think that that's fair to any of these municipalities.
Jonathan, you want to speak to that?
The one easement is a temporary easement, and it's only for construction purposes.
The $900.
The $300. First of all, it's already been approved by the village of Dryden and the town of Dryden. But I should add, there's actually nothing on the property. It's just over. It's going over the property.
Mr. Chairman, if I could, there's a gentleman sitting in the back by the name of Mike Lane, who a number of years ago looked at the, remember the Time Warner situation that you chaired a number of years ago about different fees that the towns ought to be enjoying, and it turned out to be a morass. But we discovered that the towns were granting easements to Time Warner for pennies, and Time Warner was earning a lot of money on those leases. Is there a time frame within which this has to be approved, John?
NYSEG is, this is like the last part of the project that they're hoping to do, and they want to do it soon. And they were actually delayed because the town took quite a lot of time. The time frame is for them, for their construction this season.
Well, then I'd like to ask why, Carol and Dooley, why you voted no in committee on this, if you don't mind me putting you on the spot.
Briefly, sure.
Yeah, when it came to committee, there was no map, so I wasn't quite sure how large or small a piece of property this was. I wasn't sure whether it was in a sensitive area, whether there was a water course that one should worry about, and the worry would be because keeping transmission lines clear, NYSEG often uses herbicides, and I didn't know what chemicals they might be proposing to use. So no one was at the meeting who could answer those questions, and I asked if it could be delayed. It got out of committee 3-2. And prior to this meeting, I guess yesterday, I did talk to Jonathan, who assured me that there was language which had been taken out of the agreement. By, I don't know if it was the town or the village, so that they can't use chemicals and they can't burn. So that the part of the transmission line maintenance that I was most worried about, I'm not worried about anymore.
Carol, do you have anything to add briefly?
Yeah, it was my understanding that we were going to get more information tonight about where this property is and documentation about the agreement use of the land, and I had said that if I had that information, I could be convinced to support this. Okay. But that absent that, I wouldn't.
Sure. Well, I could explain that. I mean, with regard to the questions asked, whether there'd be any chemicals, the answer is no, because we cut that out of the agreement, not allowing them to use any chemicals or burning. In terms of where this is, we have the county, this town, and the village of a flood control area back by Dryden Lake.
some of which is environmentally sensitive. This is not that. This is actually a right-of-way to that. It just crosses over a right-of-way. It is maybe 4 or 5 football fields away from where the actual flood control area is. So it's quite a bit. It's just passing over like a dirt road.
And there is a map you can probably pass around.
I have a map I could pass around. If one were to look at a map of this, it would just be a field. And if you look at the tax map, it would just be some boxes. I mean, there's nothing. I could show you the map where it is and everything, but it's not anything that would be particularly helpful. There's nothing, you know, there's nothing on the map or housing or anything like that that would be of any particular
use. Why don't you pass that down? And I have Martha next and then Dooley after that.
There were too many negatives in this. Was there language requiring? I'm confused about what was taken out.
No. In the typical NYSEG easement, this is just to maintain the property. Okay, there's no structures on it, just maintaining where the line. They are, what they do is they cut brush, various things, and typically they're allowed to burn or use chemicals. So we took that out, so all they're allowed to do is cut.
Right. Okay, thank you.
I guess Dooley already spoke. Is there anyone else who wishes to speak to this resolution? All right, are ready to vote. All in favor of Resolution W as moved? Keep your hands up. And those opposed? That passes with 3 opposed. Get all those? Thank you, Leslie.
I'm not done.
Okay.
I was going to say one last thing. F and I will not be meeting in December.
Oh.
It's the same day of the legislature department heads meeting and our party, and so we will be getting our gear up and ready for partying. So we will not be meeting. If we need to, anything that has to happen before the end of the year, we might just meet before the legislature meeting.
Okay. Thank you. For a committee that was meeting twice a month, you have...
Shh.
Okay. On to Human Resources Committee. Jim Dennis, Chair.
I'm going to try to stretch this out a little bit.
Oh. We do have executive session.
Well, that's why. Resolution X, appropriation from the contingent fund terminal pay reimbursement personnel department. I would move that.
Is there a second? Less than seconds? Is there a discussion? This is a short form roll call. If there's no discussion, let's proceed.
Ms. McAsey?
Yes.
Ms. Kiefer?
Yes.
Does anyone wish to record as a no? Seeing none, that's unanimous.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We will be meeting Thursday at 3:30. One of the questions. Item number 7 on the agenda is a performance review, the direct report, and what we will be talking about there is setting up a schedule, getting some times that we can do the workshop to implement the document, and so all the legislators can learn how to use it so that we may evaluate our directs, or evaluate our 4 directs who have been waiting to be evaluated.
Thank you, Jim. Any questions? Any other business? Mike Hattery?
Yeah, I had meant to mention this during the GO report, and that is regarding, I think we've had distributed, with regard to this resolution on setting income limits that relate to real property tax exemptions. For those of you who outside the city of Ithaca, I think we had distributed where those schedules are at for our other towns and school districts in the county. For those of you who would like to see a reduced burden on people 65 years and older with low incomes, many of our municipalities are not anywhere near the limit they could be. And so if you have an interest in that, it would be worth looking at.
Thank you. Other unfinished business? Last one, then Tyke.
I just wanted to ask David a question. I'm just getting the foreclosure parcels, and I saw the note that says people have until January 9th to pay. if people are making payment arrangements or have made payment arrangements, can they go past that date? January 9th, they have to pay it all by January 9th. It's a question that was asked of me.
January 9th is the date, unless they can make arrangements for if they can qualify for an installment program.
Okay.
And that would basically freeze the process.
And who do they talk to?
They call me.
They call you. Thank you.
Thank you. Tyke Randall?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I should have said something at our designated time. I didn't think about it. But I just wanted to say that, contrary to popular belief, people in, or legislators in particular in Groton, don't hibernate. I say that just because I will be, it's going to seem that way this year. It has seemed that way all year. I won't be here probably pretty much the whole month of December. I go out for surgery. It's the last repair from my accident this summer. I guess I'll look at it from the standpoint that when 2009 comes around, I'll be bionic and won't need any surgeries for a long, long time. So I just, you know, I thank all of you for the support and cards and letters from the first part of my journey. And I know that you're in, that I'm in your prayers for this part of it as well, and I appreciate that. Thanks.
Thank you. We'd like to move the minutes of previous meeting, November 10th and 18th. Frank moves them. Martha seconds. Is there any changes? Are we ready to vote? All in favor? Any opposed? That's unanimous. Who'd like to move that we go into executive session for purposes of negotiation? Martha moves. Mike Sigler seconds. We do not anticipate any action coming out of that executive session. All in favor? Any opposed? We'll take 5 minutes to have the cameras broken. And we'll be in executive session in 5 minutes. Thank you.